Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I want to begin reading this morning in verse number 49. I'm not going to say a lot in the introduction this morning because for the sake of time, but there are 22 sections with 8 verses in each section, make up 176 verses in Psalm 119. We determined a couple of weeks ago that directly or indirectly, all but 6 verses directly mention the Word of God in one form or another. And the other 6 verses mention it indirectly, the importance of the Word of God. And good to say that this morning because we're going to see that in this section as well. Let's begin reading in verse 49. The Bible said, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." That word quickened, when you study it out, it means to give life, to bring life, to make alive. In verse 51, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." You know, I just will say this going through it. When a man or a woman determines that they're going to go the way of God, there'll always be someone trying to pull that individual down. There'll be someone or something. The Bible said, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." He stayed with the book. By the way, that's the only hope for Bible Way. Amen. Is to stay with the book. Amen. Wouldn't it be a shame to have a church by the name of Bible Way and not stay in the Bible Way? Right. Praise God for a group of people that love the book. Want to stay in the book, the old time way. The Word of God said here, "I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." If correctly read, that's verse 49 through verse number 56. I want to key in this Lord's Day on this statement in verse number 50. My comfort in my affliction. My comfort in my affliction. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be here. God, a wonderful, wonderful crowd of folk have come out today. Lord, the children are getting to hear about Jesus on both sides of us. And Lord, we're grateful for that. Lord, the choir's done a wonderful job singing about Jesus and that homecoming day, Lord, when we'll meet just inside the gate. What a day, dear Lord, what a glorious day that'll be. God, I pray, Lord, that there'll not be one under the sound of my voice that would miss that grand homecoming. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd clothe us in our calling and help us for the next little while, Lord, to just preach, God, what you've given us. Lord, it's dear to our heart. May, Lord, you help us to deliver it in the sweetness in which you've delivered it to me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to read a little illustration this morning. The Word of God said there's comfort in my affliction. And we know that it's teaching here that is the Word of God that brings that comfort in that dark valley, that dark place in a man's life. I read this illustration. I think it will help us to set the tone for the message. Some time ago, a man saw a picture of an old burned out mountain shack. All that remained was the chimney. Somebody surely has seen, even along the road where a house used to be, and all that's standing there now is the chimney. The charred debris of what had been that family's sole possession. In front of this destroyed home stood an old grandfather looking man, dressed only in his underclothes, with a small boy clutching a pair of patched overalls. It was evident that the child was crying. Beneath the picture were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boy. These were the simple words, yet they presented a profound theology and philosophy of life. Those words were, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." That vivid picture of that burned out mountain shack, that old man, the weeping child, and those words, "God ain't dead," kept returning to mind. Instead of being a reminder of the despair of life, it has come to be a reminder of hope. The first point in my message today is going to be, in God's word, we find hope. And if we're going to have comfort in our affliction, our trouble, whatever it is we're experiencing, we're going to find that comfort in the Word of God. We all need reminders that there's hope in this world. And the Word of God is our hope. In the midst of all of life's troubles and failures, we sometimes need a mental picture to remind us that all is not lost as long as God is alive and He is on the throne. Amen. God can help us and comfort us in our affliction. We need hope. Let me give you three things today. I'm going to give you the outline and we'll back up and go over. Number one, in God's word, we begin in hope. And then number two, in God's word, we continue in hope. And then number three, in God's word, hallelujah. You sung all about it this morning. We're going to finish in hope. Amen. One day after a while. Thank God this morning. Let's look at this beginning in hope in the Word of God. The word hope is found 122 times in the Bible, 15 of those times in the book of Psalms, and 4 times in Psalm 119 alone. We find the word hope. The word hope in the Bible many times is synonymous with the word faith. It's not just the way we use it today, like I hope I get to see somebody next week. Oh no, this hope in the Word of God, the Bible said in Romans 8, we're saved by hope. I'm telling you, it is a real, a genuine, a living hope, Peter said, that we have through the Word of God. The Bible said in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What happened, preacher? Well, listen, I went to church one night. I was owing the wages of sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. But I began in hope when I found out the debt had been paid in full. And all I had to do was come and receive the one that was willing to give his life for me. I began in hope. Thank God. Jesus paid a debt. He did not owe because I had a debt I could not pay. And you as well. We begin in hope. The Word of God said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have that hope? Have you fled for refuge to the cross? Have my friend, listen, are your sins forgiven? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know that you know that you know? If you don't make it out of this building, you will make it through the gates of heaven, amen, to be with the Lord. Oh, beloved friend, in hope of eternal life. Oh, listen, it's an anchor of the soul. Listen, go with me to Mark chapter 5 just a minute. Let me read something to you before I read the Bible here in Mark chapter 5. a man by the name of G.K. Chesterton said this. He said, hope means hoping when things are hopeless. Listen carefully. Hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. I like that. My friend, listen. We know, listen, I know as pastor, there are some hopeless situations. But I know this, we can hope in the Word of God. And God will help us as we believe Him. The Bible said last Sunday night, Abraham, listen, he against hope believed in hope. In other words, God said, you're going to have a boy. But there was a little problem. And that was about 100 years on a man's life. It was impossible. But listen, when it's impossible with men, there's a God in heaven. It said all things are possible with God. Oh, beloved friend, Abraham against hope, he believed in hope. Let me give you this in Mark chapter number 5. What I'm getting at this morning is what looked to be a hopeless situation. They came over in verse number 1, the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. I tell you, this man thought there was no hope. Those that had bound him with chains thought there was no hope. You need to stay away from that place. Youngins, don't ever go near that place. There's a wild man living over there among those tombs. But the Word of God said, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains and plucked them asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. There might be a situation that you know of, and you say, well, there's no hope. That man, that woman, that, my friend, that addiction will never be tamed. I want you to know there's a God in heaven that specializes in the hopeless. I'm telling you, there's hope in God this morning. That's what the Bible said here. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. It's the demon speaking. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He asked him, what is thy name? Let me stop right here and give you an illustration. Listen, my brother years ago was praying for a man that worked for him in Mountain City, Tennessee. And my brother got a little bit frustrated. He was praying. He wasn't seeing any progress in the man's life. The man showed up one morning for church, and it just seemed like there was a wall that could not be broken through. My brother talked to him on Monday morning, and he said, what is it, Chris? And Chris asked him, he said, I just want to know. That demon that's in you, what's the name of it? What's the name of that demon? What's his name? And the man looked at my brother and said, what? He said, there's something inside of you that's keeping you from Calvary, that's keeping you from Christ, that's keeping you from peace, that's keeping you from heaven. He said, just tell me his name. What's the name of that demon that's got a hold of you? The man broke down and began to weep. He said, the demon is cocaine. You say, preacher, I don't believe there's demons in that stuff. There's demons in that alcohol. There's demons in those drugs. There's demons in that house of ill repute. There's demons in sin, and it's trying to consume people in these days that we live in. Here's a man that's consumed with demons. And I'm going to tell you, somebody's bigger than any demon you ever met in your life. His name's Jesus, and he can deliver. He can deliver. Notice what the Bible said here. The Bible said he cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee? Come on down to verse 10. And he besought him much as he would not send him out of that country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it looks like to me that God cared more about that maniac than he did them hogs. We're living in a generation, Brother Ralph, that's hugging the trees, hugging the hogs, and killing the babies. We're messed up. We're messed up. I heard a man say last night, and I like this statement. He said, if it costs me the election, I will stand on the side of life. I say, hallelujah, somebody's on the right side. Amen. Notice what the Bible said here. The Bible said, they that fed the swine fled. They told it in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Notice that, was possessed. Past tense. Had the demon. How many knows the English language good enough to know this? There's a difference between the word had and has. You know what happened? This man is now in Christ. He's a new creature. The old things have passed away, and honey, all things are become new. Down there, Brother David, among the tombs, he was naked, cutting on himself. He was wild. He was crazy. But we're fixing to find him clothed. He put some clothes on, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and in his right mind. That's the difference Jesus makes. What a blessing this morning. To know the psalmist had it right. You want comfort in your affliction? Run to the Word of God. Because the Word of God can help you. And the God of the Word will help you when nothing else will help. Oh, beloved friend, we come on down here. The Bible said they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. He's no longer running around naked. He's sitting. He's clothed. And he's in his right mind. You know what our Bible said? Come now. And let us reason. Saith together, saith the Lord. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus would say, son, come over here and sit down and talk to me a few minutes. Let's talk about this. Let's reason this thing out. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to reason with some of these isms in our world. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you could get to heaven any other way than through the cross of Calvary, then my friend, that's the biggest mistake this world has ever seen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody said, well, surely you believe all steeples point up and all religions point to God. Well, let me just give you a little illustration. Laying right over here in this little bay in the church is a steeple that ain't pointing up. I didn't plan on saying that. It's the old steeple that come off the old church. It's still laying out there and it's pointing sideways. There's one on the roof that's pointing up. You better not go by how the steeple's pointing. You better go how the scripture's pointing. And the scripture will point you to Jesus every time. Every time. Never miss it. Word of God. Oh, beloved friend. Do you understand this morning what a predicament I'm in? I'm halfway through the first point. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Your predicament. What about ours? It's y'all's fault. You just keep sitting there and acting like you enjoy it. The preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's hope. There are times when your pastor buries his head in his hands and forgets there's hope. There are times when mothers bury their head in their hands and forget there's hush, child. God ain't dead. He's still on the throne, and he may come before the sun goes down this evening. He may come. And then Brother Ralph's getting over there with John and agreeing with him, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, beloved friend, if there's a hope you can find in the world, it's a temporary hope. But the hope that we find in Christ is an eternal hope. It is an eternal hope. Let me give you one more illustration, and we'll uncouple the train, come back, couple it up tonight. I'll tell you what's the truth. I'm glad there's hope. There's comfort in my affliction. There's hope. I can't remember the times, a bunch of them, that I've gotten so defeated and so discouraged that my wife would lean over and begin to sing a little song in my ears that we learned years ago. Everything's all right in my Father's house. I will tell you something right now. Everything might be all wrong at your house and my house, but there'll never be a time when everything's not all right at his house. He's still on the throne, and we need to put our hope, our confidence in him. Let me give you this, and I'll close this morning. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. We talked about the maniac. Seemed like there was no hope. Brother Jeff, I wonder how many children y'all pick up. Where if you look at it in an external way, it looks like a hopeless situation. Why you won't carry them youngins down the house of God? I tell you why. Because we know down the house of God, there's a Bible. And in that Bible, there's a Savior. And in that Savior, there's hope. Regardless of what the situation is, there's hope. Down there in the book of Mark in verse number 10, or chapter 10 and verse 46, they came to Jericho. Listen to me carefully. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he sat by the highway side begging. I can remember, I believe it was Brother Lester Roloff's program that come on with that song. By the highway begging, his eyes were blind. He could not see. He clutched his old rags and he shivered in the darkness. Then Jesus came and made his darkness flee. Watch what the Bible said here. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Listen to me carefully now. There's something for see here. And say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him. Watch this now. I told you every time there's somebody reaching up for help, there's somebody else, Brother Rose, trying to pull that hand down. Trying to pull them down. Let me tell you something about misery. It loves company. There's a lot of people in this world, they're nothing but miserable, and they want you and I to be as miserable as they are. Hallelujah, I met Jesus and got over the misery of this world. Now I want people to be as happy as I am. You say, how happy are you? Well, I'm just as happy as if I had good sense. That's pretty happy. I'm happy this morning in Jesus. The Bible said here, many charged him that he should hold his peace. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, in East Tennessee vernacular, many said, Brother Johnny, shut up, blind man. Shut up. He don't want to hear what you got to say. But listen to what the Bible said. And by the way, that's what happens when we get hopeless. We shut up. We ought to be speaking up. You say, preacher, what do you mean? We ought to be crying out to the God of heaven. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I know, but he does. That's why we ought to be talking to him. Listen, the Bible said here, he cried the more. In other words, they just put fuel on his fire. Many charged him, be quiet, hold your peace. He cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Let me tell you something right now. I don't have any Bible for this. This is what I believe about our Lord, Brother Steve. I believe there's statements like that and others in the Bible. Honey, there's a radar on his ear. I mean, there could be a throng. I mean, there could be people everywhere talking about everything. Amen. They will today, won't they? They will. They'll be talking about everything under the sun. But I tell you what, when God listens, see, he don't even always, he don't just hear what we say. He hears the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. He hears when somebody down deep inside said, oh God, I don't have any hope. I need that hope. Lord, would you have mercy on me? He's already heard that cry. He's already heard that cry. I believe his ear just tunes in to such as that. Now watch this. The word of God said here, he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Boy, I like that, don't you? Jesus going down the road and all went boom. That radar went up. He heard something. He said, somebody better go get him. Go get him, bring him over here. Wonder what that crowd's thinking now. Wonder if they're thinking he still should have shut up. I wonder what he's thinking when he says, somebody comes over and said, hey, buddy, Jesus wants to see you. You can say whatever you want to, but I believe business is picking up. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Boy, I didn't even see that statement when I studied it. Right there it is, comfort in my affliction. Amen. Watch what the word of God said. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. Brother Brian, I don't know this for sure, but it kind of looks like that goes along pretty good with that Sunday school lesson you taught us a little while back about laying aside the weight. That garment might have slowed him down just a little bit, getting to Jesus. He laid that heavy stuff off so he could get on over. Well, praise God. That's free. That's good, too. Amen. He wanted to get on over and see Jesus. He didn't want anything to slow him down. The Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? May I say something to you this morning? He knows what we need. Even before we ask. In a crowd this size, he knows who's saved and who's not. He knows who's fighting a battle with doubt. Some people say, boy, if you doubt, I tell you what, God just ain't interested in that. Read about John the Baptist. He sent his disciples. He said, go ask Jesus. Art thou he, or should we look for another? Jesus just sent him back, said, go tell John the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. I believe old John said, that's him. Glory to God. And then he begins to talk about John. He said, among them that are born of women, there's not a greater than John. I believe sometimes it's a trick of the devil. When he jumps up on us and wants to make us think that our Father is disappointed in us when our Father just knows how frail that we are and how human we are and how prone to wander, prone to leave the God that we love. God knows the very need of every heart. The Bible said, Jesus answered him, said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Back over yonder when the blind man's calling, he's saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Say, preacher, I don't understand the picture here. Well, let me just give it to you the way it's coming to me right now. Everything you need is wrapped up in the mercy of God. He lays a blanket out there. Lord, have mercy on me. I got saved because of God's mercy. I got to eat breakfast because of God's mercy. I've got clothes on my back because of God's mercy. His mercy, His faithfulness is new every morning. Watch this. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy, what's that next word? Now let me tell you something right now. I'm not changing the Bible. But you could put the word hope right there and you would not discredit that verse one bit. You say, preacher, what was he doing? Well, he's sitting over there. He heard Jesus was coming to town. You know what would help us here in Bloomingdale? It's just that the word would get out. Just go up there to that church and Jesus is meeting with his people. Jesus is helping people. Jesus is healing people. Listen to me carefully. That man's sitting over there and I believe he has hope in his heart. You say, preacher, why do you believe that? Why would you keep on hollering? Brother Ralph, why would we keep on singing? Preachers, why would you keep on preaching? Teachers, why would you keep on teaching if you didn't believe God's word could still get the job done? Oh, beloved friend, he's sitting over there. He says, have mercy on me. Now it comes down to the nitty gritty. And he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You say, preacher, I don't see the faith in that. Well, you can honestly see it in two words. Now listen to me carefully. You can see it in the word Jesus. Now he follows that up with, thou son of David. He knew something about the Jesus that had come into the world. He had heard some things. Listen to me carefully. And then the word Lord, that I might receive my sight. Let me tell you something this morning. Jesus is Lord. When they sang a while ago, the dying thief was glad to see that fountain in his day. That dying thief looked over there at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Brother Johnny, he was hanging there in a seemingly hopeless situation. But the hope of the world was hanging right alongside of him. Can I just say this morning, he's the same yesterday, and today, and forever. The same one that gave hope. Can you imagine? I'll get into this tonight. Can you imagine what went on in that thief's heart after Jesus looked back at him and said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I believe he was overwhelmed with peace. I believe he died with dignity. I believe he knew Christ was Lord and that the Lord could offer hope in a hopeless situation. Let me give you this. It's kind of humorous a little bit. I could save it, but I want to give it to you because it's in my heart. Yesterday, I was talking to Sister Sue in the ER. And Brother Randall had already told me about the experience or the dream, whatever it was. It may have been when they put Sister Sue under to take her, was it her gallbladder they had to take out? It may have been then. I'm not sure about that. But Sister Sue began to tell me, not knowing that Brother Randall had already told me, so I just listened. She said, preacher, She said there was people everywhere. And she said, "Preacher," said Fred, "was dressed in a white suit and he was running." Now, Pastor took it upon himself to take up where Brother Fred left off. Brother Fred always had a little bit of humor. So when Sister Sue paused right there, I said, "Sister Sue, was he running towards you or running away from you?" And she laughed. We had such a blessed time. She said he was running toward me. And said he was kissing me all over the face. And she said, "I kept saying, Fred, all these people are watching us." You say, "Preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with anything." Oh, yes, it does. Brother Ralph, we can't sit back there and say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." If we don't know in our heart, it's better on the other side. Why do we have church? I tell you why. Because we love him. We want to worship him. We want to lift him up. But I'll tell you something else. How many say we want others to go with us? Just inside the eastern gate, I want others. Brother Mays said years ago, you know, Baptists are notorious. I don't know if y'all know it or not. It ain't that way around here, but they're notorious for being dry. And they're notorious for kind of being dead. They don't smile at the preacher. They don't, you know, nod their head at the preacher. They don't say amen. That's what they're notorious for. Aren't you glad we got off under that cloud? Say amen. But Brother Mays was preaching. He probably was in one of them dry atmospheres, Brother Gale. He said, "I'm going to tell you right now," he said, "when some of you Baptists come through that gate," and Brother Mays was a big man, but he kicked that heel up. He said, "You kick that foot up and holler, wow." He said, "I'm going to tell you, is that good all along?" And you wouldn't listen. How this morning, God has put hope where there was no hope. Comfort in my affliction. I don't know how we're going to get through these 8 verses to you. By the grace of God, amen. We need hope. Hope. We find it in the beginning. If you come back tonight, we'll find hope as it continues. And then maybe tonight we'll find hope as we finish our race in hope. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, you have blessed my heart. God, I pray that blessing will spread from bosom to bosom. God, today I think often about St. Jude's, the children that are down there. Many times a seemingly hopeless situation. But Lord, Lot ain't dead. Help us to hush. Help us like Abraham to believe God. Help us like the blind man to keep on crying out for mercy. God, I pray this morning for that individual that's never been to Calvary, never been born again, never been saved. Lord, the songwriter said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Lord, I'll never forget the night you let me see. Brother John was teaching a while back. He said, "I heard and I heard and I heard, but then one day I heard." Oh, God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us this morning. Lord, it could be a young man, a young lady that's seemingly, Lord, without purpose in a hopeless situation. Lord, I pray that you'll comfort them this morning in their affliction. God, that you'd give them hope. There could be somebody here today that's never met Jesus in faith. It's kind of foreign to them to think about laying down at night and knowing, Lord, if they never woke up again down here, heaven would be their home. God, how I pray today that hope would be birthed in that heart. Lord, thank you for changing my life. Lord, you're still changing it. And God, we're so grateful. Do what needs to be done.